Verse 41 of Luke chapter 19 reads, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." We'll unite our hearts together in prayer and ask the Lord for his help and his presence and his power in the moments that remain. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for a real sense of thy presence in this house this evening. It's good for us to be here. Lord, it's thy presence that makes a feast. May we feast upon thy word this evening. May every believing heart rejoice in the goodness of God. And Father, tonight, may every unconverted soul in this gathering be called of God, called by grace, not only called, but saved. Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, prophets of the Father given. O gracious God, continue with us, we pray, for Christ Jesus' sake. Lord Jesus Christ loved the city of Jerusalem. Loved it in ages past, before he was ever born in Bethlehem's manger. Loved it for the 33 years in which he walked the dusty streets of the land of Israel. I believe it is true to say that he loves it still and has a purpose of grace yet for the city of Jerusalem, because we are told in the Word of God that when he comes again in power and glory, he will return to the very location that we have read of this evening, and his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. There are many things that I could say by way of proof of the statement I have just made concerning the Saviour's love for Jerusalem. The Old Testament scriptures would confirm such to us this evening. Perhaps specifically Psalm 48, in which we read these wonderful words, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." During his earthly pilgrimage on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a faithful Jewish male, frequented the city of Jerusalem on a regular basis. He was brought there as a babe in his mother's arms, just a few days old. In the Gospel of Luke, we read of him at 12 years of age, in the company of Joseph and Mary his mother, going up to one of the feasts of the Jews in Jerusalem. As an adult, he himself, as a Jewish male, would go down to the city at least on 3 occasions every year to worship at the temple of God. Then when the call of God was identified upon his life at 30 years of age, and he entered into his public ministry, if you read carefully the gospel narratives, you'll discover that there were 2 cities that were particularly precious and close to the Saviour's heart. In the northern part of Israel and Galilee, there was the city of Capernaum. The Saviour did many of his mighty works in the city of Capernaum. Indeed, it became known in the northern region as, and I quote, his own city. But in the southern part of the land, the city of Jerusalem was the place where the Saviour's ministry was often focused. In fact, if you take time to read through the Gospel of John and look for mention of the city of Jerusalem, you will discover that in many, if not most, of the chapters of John's Gospel, there's an association with the Lord Jesus Christ in the city of Jerusalem. He's either in the city, journeying to the city, or coming back from the city, back to the northern part of the kingdom. Let me just for a moment or two take you into the Gospel of Luke and show you how the same pattern is to be found in that book. If you would turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, back to chapter 9. There's no strict chronology in the Gospel narratives. If you were to read the four Gospels, you'll discover some stories linked to the life of the Savior, and they seem to be occurring at different times during his public ministry. And therefore, I would say just at the outset, there's no strict chronology in the Gospel of Luke concerning the Savior's ministry. But in chapter 9 and in verse 51, we read these words, "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Now it reads, when he was to be received up, suggesting perhaps to your mind that we were coming to Calvary, coming to the cross, coming to the last moments of our Savior's life, and yet we're barely halfway through the Gospel of Luke. But our Lord Jesus Christ from the cradle was destined for the cross. In the book of Hebrews we read, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. But knowing that the cross was before him, knowing that Calvary was in front of him, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And the same thought is there in verse 53, where we read that the Samaritans, they rejected him. They would not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. You come over in the Gospel of Luke to the chapter 13. We have a wonderful little statement there in chapter 13, and you'll find it in the verse 22. We simply read this, "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem." Journeying toward Jerusalem, to the destiny that was in front of him, to the ordained purpose and plan of God, going to Jerusalem. Then a little bit farther down, that same chapter, verse 34, you'll come across a verse which, if you were to turn to Matthew, you'll discover in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. But here's the Savior's lamentation over the city of Jerusalem. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." The lamentation of the Lamb of God for the city of Jerusalem. "How often would I have gathered thee, and ye would not." Again, we can come over to chapter 17, and in the verse 11, and we read the words here, simply, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." And so it goes on, and we come to chapter 18, and then into chapter 19, and all the while the Savior is journeying to Jerusalem. A good number of this congregation have had the privilege of visiting the Holy Land. You've stood perhaps upon the Mount of Olives, at the Garden of Gethsemane perhaps, and you've looked over the panoramic view of the old city, not as the Lord saw it, of course. We today would now see the golden dome of the mosque, or the Al-Aqsa Mosque also there. But oh, the Savior in his generation, he looked upon the temple, the glory of Herod's temple. What a view it must have been to gaze in that wonderful way, gazing upon Zion City of the living God. The words, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord," are more than a statement of desire. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. The Psalms from Psalm 120 are known as the Songs of Degrees, and they were sung by the pilgrims as they came to the city of Jerusalem. And indeed, the Savior and his disciples perhaps would have sung some of those Psalms, even in the procession that we've read part of here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. But Jerusalem was a city built upon a hill. Yea, the psalmist says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord looks over his people. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. We didn't take time tonight. We hadn't time to read the entire 19th chapter. Indeed, we would need to go back into chapter 18 to get the context of this portion of the Word of God this evening. Perhaps we'll just look at it briefly right now. If you turn to chapter 18 and in verse 31, you'll discover the Savior in a dramatic fashion begins to talk to the disciples about the cross. Verse 31 of chapter 18, we read these words. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of those things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things that were spoken. But the Savior has directly told them, I'm going to die. They're going to take me. They're going to crucify me. They're going to nail me to a cross. They're going to spit upon me, scourge me, mock me. But still he set his face as though he would go to Jerusalem. He would not be turned back. Let us go up to the house of the Lord. And it was a going up. You'll notice in the following verse, in verse 35, that it came to pass as he was come nigh unto Jericho. If you know the geography of the land of Israel, you know that Jericho lies down there in the Jordan Valley and is actually several hundred feet below sea level. But when you come to Jerusalem, you're actually climbing almost 3,000 feet from Jericho up to Jerusalem, which is about 2,500 feet above sea level. Now the Savior comes to Jericho, the place of a curse. The city of palm trees, it is called. And here in the outskirts of Jericho, two notable miracles happen. In the final verses of chapter 18, you read of the giving of sight to blind Bartimaeus. What a wonderful miracle of grace. Oh, that we had time to deal with it this evening. But Bartimaeus is brought savingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful testimony. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, give praise unto God. Then in the opening verses of the following chapter, we read of the crooked little man Zacchaeus coming to see the Lord Jesus Christ. The wording, you know, of these two miracles is very, very significant. Because in verse 35, we are told that he came nigh unto Jericho. And verse 1 of chapter 19 says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He was just visiting the city, just passing through. One was saved as he went into the city. The other was saved as he passed through the city and came out the other way, climbed up the sycamore tree. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Zacchaeus, come down, for today salvation is come to thy house. But notice as we read on in chapter 19 that we come to verse 28 where we commenced our reading this evening, and it says he was ascending up to Jerusalem. As I've said already, he's gone up now from the city of the plain down there in Jericho, way below sea level, and now he has gradually come up the road that leads to Jerusalem. Some of you I know in days gone by, it's now a road that is closed to tourists. But some of you would have travelled up the old Jericho Road, the road that the man went down where he was beset among thieves, one of the most hazardous, treacherous roads, twisting, winding its way from below sea level up toward the city of Jerusalem. And so the pilgrims came year by year. It was the main way into Jerusalem at the time, not the modern highway that some of us have traveled up or down in more recent times, but up that old road to Wadi Kelt. From Jericho toward Jerusalem. But you're ascending all the time, singing as they go, the Savior is going to the cross. And then when we come to verse 37, we read the words, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent, going up and coming down, ascending and descending. They're not just mere words when it comes to the city of Jerusalem, but our Savior is even now journeying toward Jerusalem, journeying toward Jerusalem. He's come to the little village of Bethany. For the next 5 or 6 days, Bethany will be his headquarters, the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But every day he would come to the city. But now here on this first day, the Lord's day, because it's that day in which they spread their clothes before him, and he sat upon the ass, upon the colt, and they sing Hosanna. Oh, blessed is the King, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees, well, they just don't like it. Verse 39, Master, rebuke thy disciples. But the Savior's reaction, when he sees the city, is to weep over it. To weep over it. If only thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from their eyes, from your eyes. Dear friend, time is rapidly going this evening. I want to leave 3 very simple thoughts with you. Very brief they will be. In the first place, I want you to think of Jerusalem's day. Jerusalem's day. Day of opportunity. If I come to Jesus. If I come to Jesus, he will make me glad. Just as I am. Victoria didn't know what we were going to be preaching on tonight. You know, the word come is found so frequently in God's precious word, in the gospel spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In another place in John's gospel, we read on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried with a loud voice and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, with gracious, tender pardon, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But sadly also in the Gospel of John, he said to some, ye will not come. Ye will not come to me that you might have life. And sadly, those who will not come, there came a time when they could not come. My friend, I must be faithful and warn you tonight, there's a very fine line between hardening your heart and your heart being hardened. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should let Israel go? I will not let them go. But God so moved that his heart was broken. I have sinned against the Lord. Go! And yet Pharaoh hardened his heart. And hardened his heart to the point of destruction. I was reading, looking for a quote that I wanted to find that would have been relevant to the message that the Lord had laid upon my heart. I actually came across what is a secular love song. But as I read that poem, I discovered a message. I want to read it to you this evening. Listen to the words. Bear in mind, it's not a spiritual song, not a hymn, not a spiritual poem. But it reads like this. There is a time for love and laughter. The days will pass like summer storms. The winter wind will follow after, but there is love, and love is warm. There is a time for us to wander when time is young, and so are we. The woods are greener over yonder. The path is new. The world is free. There is a time when leaves are falling. The woods are grey. The paths are old. The snow will come when geese are calling. You need a fire against the cold. So do your roaming in the springtime, and you'll find your love in the summer sun. The frost will come and bring the harvest. You can sleep when day is done. Today, my friend, is a summertime. But the summer will pass. The harvest will come. The frost will return. Don't miss your opportunity. What a privilege Jerusalem had. Jerusalem had the preaching of the prophets. Jerusalem had the presence of the Savior. Jerusalem had the prayers of the Savior. Jerusalem had the pleading of the Savior. Even in the portion that we read together tonight, Bartimaeus got saved. He who was blind, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And his eyes were opened. And that crooked little Roman tax gatherer, Zacchaeus, got saved. Salvation has come to his house. There was a witness to Jerusalem. And yet in words that we had read concerning Jerusalem, we heard the Savior crying out, Jerusalem, you've killed the prophets. You've stoned them that are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered thee? As a hen would gather her children, gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. I would, but ye would not. William Shakespeare wrote the following words. He said, there is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, lead on to fortune. Amid it all, the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in misery. My friend, how is it with your soul tonight? Have you seized the moment? Have you grabbed hold of the time? Have you taken it at its flood? Are you moving on to fortune? Or are you destined to spend the misery of your days without Christ? The generation of our Lord Jesus Christ said, his blood be on us and on our children. My friend, don't lose your soul. Proverbs 29:1 reads familiarly, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. This is your day. The Savior said, O daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. This is your day. Felix said, go thy way for this season. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for thee. Agrippa said, almost, Paul, thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Oh, my friend, listen, listen, listen tonight. Here is Jerusalem's day. The Son of God says, if thou had known. But I must tonight point out to you Jerusalem's darkness. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, whom none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. They saw him. They looked upon him. They heard him. They listened to him. They saw his works. They saw his miracles. Never man speak like this man. No man can do the things that thou doest, except God be with him. And yet, by and large, they said, we will not have this man to rule over us. My friend, the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verses 1 through 6 are solemn, but they're so relevant tonight. If our gospel is hid, not known, not understood, not received, it is hid to them that are lost. What's the condition of the lost soul in this gathering this evening? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Hearing they heard, but did not understand, until there came a time where the hearing fell upon hardened hearts and upon deafened ears, and they disdained the Saviour. And even now, when there is praise being offered to God's eternal Son, the Pharisee says, Lord, rebuke your disciples. This is outrageous. Listening to this praise being ascribed to you, that should be ascribed to the Messiah, the very one who was in their presence. But very briefly, and I must close with this, my friends, not only is there Jerusalem's day and Jerusalem's darkness, but there's Jerusalem's desolation. Oh, bear in mind, the Savior knew what would happen in just 5 days' time or so, that he would be taken before Pilate, before Herod, from prison to judgment, to Calvary, to death, to agony. Oh, I love the words of John's Gospel, chapter 12. What shall I say? Shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, for this cause, came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy Son. There came that voice from heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He went to the cross. But he knew more than what was ahead for himself on the cross. Oh, we didn't read on to read of the judgment of God that would fall upon the city of Jerusalem, and eventually did in AD 70, when Rome came and the city was broken down and they brought the judgment of God upon their souls. My friend, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Esau is a tragic character. He despised his birthright. He counted the privileges of his birthright as a nothing. But later on, when he would have sought for the blessing of God, he couldn't find it. Balaam is in a lost eternity tonight. But Balaam knew enough about the truth of God to desire that he might die the death of the righteous, and that his last end might be like theirs. But Balaam sinned away God's day of grace. My friend, don't end up in the desolation of Israel. How tragic a thing. How tragic a thing indeed to attend a gospel preaching church, to hear the word of God faithfully preached week after week after week, and to go out without Christ. And every time you do so, it's just putting another nail into the hardness of your heart. When he was come near, and he loved Jerusalem. That's why I said at the very outset tonight, he loves it still. There's a purpose of grace in the heart of God for Jerusalem and for its inhabitants, even yet. But with love in his heart, there's the stinging bitterness of tears in his eyes. If I come to Jesus, will you come tonight? He will make you glad. He'll wipe away the tears. He'll take away the burden. He'll heal the broken heart. Listen, they were taught the things that belong unto their peace. The Savior wanted to give them peace, but they said no. Let's bow in prayer, please.